We're talking with Melanie Trimble, who is the chapter director of the New York Civil Liberties Union Capital District chapter. And among other things that the group is working on has been the issue of trying to resolve expanding early voting sites in the city of Troy. And I saw recently that they had sent a fourth letter to the Board of Elections in Troy to try to resolve it. And they also had the Attorney General, New York State Attorney General, send a letter as well. So Melanie, what's going on and why is this such a hard problem?
You got me. We don't really fully understand why the Board of Elections in the Rensselaer County is not understanding the arguments that both the state and the NYCLU are making to persuade them that the choice of early voting sites, if you're going to have two of them in Troy, which is what the Board of Elections has chosen, that at least one of them should be in the largest city center and on a public transportation line. After all, early voting is meant to, streamline voting and help people get to the polls and encourage more people to vote. So we do not understand why the Board of Elections doesn't see clearly the arguments for having it in a city center, places like Unity House, which is on a public transportation line, or the Troy Public School number 2. You know, all of these are on public transportation routes and very accessible to people who live downtown in Troy. So.
Well, I read that the Board of Elections said, hey, you know, after a lot of complaints, we did open up this church on Spring Avenue in Troy. You know, that should be, you know, sufficient for people.
Right. Well, the church on Spring Avenue, as I understand it, is not on a public transportation line. And again, not in the city center. That would make it more convenient for people who wish to vote earlier than Election Day. We've suggested several sites, even more than I just previously mentioned. And the sites fall under all the requirements of handicapped accessibility, the fact that it has parking to make it convenient for people who drive, lots of all the conditions that need to be met under the legislation are met with the four sites that we've sent as suggestions, and the sites are all willing and able to provide, you know, early voting sites.
Now, my understanding is that early voting, you know, is not really something that, you know, the local Board of Elections have come up with. It's really, you know, the state has directed the local boards. And in fact, there are certain standards they're supposed to accomplish. And I guess their failure to actually accomplish those standards is why the state attorney general decided to intervene. I mean, how many other counties is the state attorney general trying to intervene in?
You know, I don't have that. I can certainly ask my our voting rights director, who is now on paternity leave, which is very thrilling. It's his first baby. But when he gets back, I'd be happy to ask him. He certainly has keyed into other places in the state, using actually Rensselaer County as an example to the rest. So I don't know how many others there are, but I do know that there are a few counties that have chosen sites that are not necessarily the most accessible to communities of color.
Now, I saw that the Attorney General had requested, response from the Rensselaer County Board of Elections by April 26. Did they meet the deadline and anything change after that response?
I do not think they've met the deadline. However, I have to check. I certainly haven't received that, and I don't believe that our office in New York City has. Mm-hmm. So we'll be following up.
So what are the next steps here to try, you know, try to convince the county? And, you know, this is, you know, what you call bipartisan. So the Democrats and the Republicans are responsible. You would think with, you know, Democrats, more people in the city of Troy, you know, vote for Democrats in other parts of the county. Why isn't, you know, the Democrats at the county board election trying to make sure that it makes it easier for residents of Troy to vote?
I mean, I think it's time to really put some pressure on the Board of Elections, either with some sort of activism. We certainly have enough community groups that have signed on to our letters that have expressed concerns, and it just might be time for us to be more vocal in the area to try and elevate the issue with voters. Early voting is becoming much more popular and used much more frequently as we explore all the alternatives. And so we want to make sure that we have a robust turnout on early voting. And one of the best ways to do it, of course, is to have sites that are accessible to the voters.
Now, you do have primaries coming up, I believe, sometime in, mid-June. You know, what is sort of a deadline to resolve this, at least if it's going to be used during the primary?
Well, it was hoped that they would respond to the Attorney General's letter, which we will follow up on. And hopefully by June, they will have chosen these, either one of the four sites for the city of Troy. We certainly will be following up with the Attorney General's office and with our own communications with the Board of Elections, particularly before June 10th. I'm sorry, what is the voting day? I don't want to overstate.
It's sometime in mid-June. I know that the Civil Liberties Union has also been looking at the issue of some mergers of some hospitals in Schenectady out of the concern that the dominant player in this will end up being, in this case, the Catholic Church, who is not, good about access to reproductive rights. I understand there's been some development recently on that.
Well, the merger has been postponed. It was going to happen sometime earlier this year. For the two hospitals, yeah. Ellis Hospital is planning a merger with St. Peter's. St. Peter's is owned by Trinity, which is a Catholic-based hospital conglomerate. And we've been working with Ellis to try to ensure that full reproductive health services will be offered at the hospital. Also, end-of-life care, palliative care, will be still offered by Ellis. And also LGBT services, which, by the way, are very rare in the area anyway. To any extent that Ellis Hospital offers health services, in particular to the LGBT community, we'd like to see them continue. And possibly even become more robust. But the deal has sort of fallen apart, and we're very concerned that Ellis is selling off pieces of it and of itself during this merger. And our main concern, of course, is for the on the reproductive health part of it is to preserve Bellevue. And hopefully Bellevue can be a standalone, either subsumed by Albany Med or some other hospital in the area that doesn't have a Catholic affiliation. So we just would like people to be aware that this merger has caused a lot of concern about health services in Schenectady in particular. So if people would like to get involved in that, please email me at mtrimble@nyclu.org. Because we did have a big community discussion about it, but a lot of people, of course, miss those types of things, and we want to make sure that the community is well educated, because their one hospital may actually dissolve.
So you only have about 45 seconds left. So is there a government agency that actually approves the merger? And then second, if people are concerned about the issue of early voting rights, how best can they engage with that?
Yeah, there is a state agency, but we're very concerned about their own approval process. Of course, they've approved mergers in the past that do involve Catholic hospitals subsuming regular hospitals. And I'm sorry, so if people are interested in that, please email me at mtrimble@nyclu.org.
Well, we've been talking with Melanie Trimble, who is the chapter director of the New York Civil Liberties Union, the Capital District chapter. And this has been Mark Dunley for the Hudson Mohawk Radio Network.